Yes.
Well, it is a good morning from me, and it's a good afternoon to you. We're in Sunday and you're in Saturday, as Brother Stephen opened up. And I thank the Orlando class for their most kind invitation to share some thoughts with you. I bring you the love and greetings from the Australian brethren, and for those that are listening, I know Brother Nohan Hasha, he also texted me and sent his special warm Christian love to the brethren, and remember him in your prayers. He's going through a tough time. I'd love to be there in person, brethren, having fellowship, but it's not possible this time, so I'll endeavour to do my best online. My dear brethren, we have been invited to the divine family. But before we are accepted and given a spiritual life, our dear Heavenly Father must first prove us by various trials and shaping our character on earth, our very proving ground. I'd like to open up the key text of, you all know it, Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'd like to go to a quote from an article Brother Russell wrote in reprint 2404 on this verse. How the Lord lifts this class of servants from the mire of sin, and washes them, cleanses them from sin through the merit of his own precious blood. This crystallization of the diamond corresponds to the willingness towards righteousness in the individual. It is those wills that are formed, crystallized, set, determined for righteousness that the Lord is now seeking. However, the jewel seeker, except some in whom the crystallization process is incomplete, he helps our infirmities, developing in us that quality of firmness for righteousness. At the same time, he polishes us. And Romans 8:26 is good on this. Our trials seem to really come on when we are new creatures. Coming from the world, the flesh and the devil are the obvious three. But there are also trials that come from our heavenly, permitted by our Heavenly Father from our very brethren, our family, our work. There are also trials that seem so difficult for us. And we must realize that our dear Heavenly Father has designed very specific trials for each one of us. So every trial is not just circumstantial. He designs and permits them on us so they are what we'd call tailor-made. In order to be quantum leap from the fallen human nature to the divine nature, strenuous tests are required. God never elevates anyone without first examining them. So we have to prove our loyalty by dedicating ourselves to the principles of righteousness. Not just partially, but in an absolute sense, that we want to do the Heavenly Father's will 100% of the time. Although we are imperfect, God makes allowances for that. But that desire to do his will must be developed within our DNA at all times, with all one's heart and mind, always seeking perfection of intention. We can recall angels were first created, perfect, mortal, and then they were tested. And recall Satan wanted to be like the Most High. The famous words recorded in Isaiah 14, verses 13 to 14. But you said in your heart, I will ascend to the heaven. I will arise my throne above the stars of God. And I will sit on the mount of assembly in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will make myself like the Most High. In just two verses, five I's in the very middle of our word pride. Adam was also created perfect, mortal. Then he was tested and died. But it's a totally different and unique process for the new creature. We were not born perfect. Within our DNA, we'll all have imperfection owing to Father Adam's fall, Adamosis. Yet it is from these very perfect human beings, not angels in heaven, that our dear Heavenly Father is seeking and selecting an invitation to his special divine family. What a truly amazing concept and privilege. We just cannot comprehend with our limited human minds the superb attributes the divine spiritual nature possesses. I just cannot get my head around it. But in one word, to say it's awesome. We live in a material world having many limitations. Our experiences are not that different to our neighbours. But we do have a dimension that most do not have. As we know, natural man has five senses, but the new creature needs a new dimension, as spiritual things are to be grasped. Man hears, sees, smells, tastes and feels. But natural man cannot determine spiritual things. Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2:14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. The new creature develops with different eyesight. It's spiritual. So how does it work? Just read the Bible and say, pluck out the Abrahamic covenant. To understand it, one needs the spiritual eyes to explain the Abrahamic covenant. The world reads it, but it cannot understand it. Or take, for example, Tabernacle Shadows, that small first book Brother Russell wrote. It appears so grotesque to the natural world on face value. None could understand it till they became a Bible student. And so we see the need for spiritual dimension, as without it, we cannot understand spiritual things. Next, take the ears. All have natural ears to hear, but we also have the ears of faith. What kind of faith? It's a spiritual change to hearing a different tune from the platform. Apostle Paul in Hebrews 11:1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we have faith, hope and love, are very unusual to most out there in the world. God will always be number one, totally different being to any other beings, even the divine beings. Every being is dependent on someone. God is the only one never brought into existence. The psalmist David in Psalm 41:13 said, blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Amen and amen. So all 144,001 have a beginning but share the divine nature. And the spiritual level on offer now is only for those who dwell in a material world and live a life of sacrifice on earth, not angels. It's a one-time offer only during the gospel age, never ever to be repeated again. And to qualify, one must go through various unique tests to fully develop in order to be able to complement this divine nature. And the information we get along the way is stored in our minds for the advantage of understanding principles of right and the consequences of doing wrong. And so the new creature undergoes peculiar tests in a most hostile environment, the earth's brooding ground. Also, the new creature is not developed in the body of the old man, but in the mind of the new nature. Our minds need to be transformed in Romans 12:1-2. The angels saw sin develop on earth, exposing them to a unique experience they never had before. An apparent lack of power by God appeared to some of them. And if he could not restrain the sin, and just some of them could not resist it. The fallen angel saw that they could commit sin and not be punished for it. But the loyal showed the right heart condition. You see, mankind's environment is a broad way in Matthew 7:13. The easy way, the selfish way of pride, sin, lust, selfishness, reprint 4, 5, 6, 8 is good on this. It's a super highway with no detours. In Matthew 7:13, even through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But ours, in the contrast, is a narrow way. In verse 14, our Lord says, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. In Matthew 20:16, so the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. The dual class is scarce and takes time to develop. The new creature is developed under very adverse conditions, experiencing things not normal for human beings, accepting things that are contrary to natural law. They suffer joyfully despite the disadvantages it causes them, showing faith to something they cannot see. No one in the world does that. But we will serve the Lord whatever the cost. All our experiences are like irritation from little things. And the oyster comes to mind. The foreign object gets inside the shell and causes irritation. The more that foreign particle swims inside it, the more it causes that irritation to work, and finally it makes a pearl. These irritations should work on us to eventually create a pearl, a jewel. Yes, by the patience of faith. What appears to annoy us, like our trials, will create over time an added value, a pearl, a jewel. That's what the Lord can use. So we're to use all the negatives and to turn them into positives, and we take it all on the chin with a smile. We sometimes fail to evaluate our small trials, always classifying them as big trials. Place a small pebble close to the eye. It's all out of focus. Then place it further away from you. You appreciate its size as you have a focus. So do not focus at problems close up, as then other things become out of focus. The greatest mystery is the permission of evil. Evangelist Billy Graham could not explain it. Difficult to understand for so many today why our dear Heavenly Father is so all-loving and appears unable to get rid of evil at once. Because evil is a necessity to the divine plan. Only by the permission of evil can God put in his plan. He will eliminate sin and death in this world of the groaning creation, and the watching angels all learn that greatest lesson as we are a spectacle to them and the world in 1 Corinthians 4:9. While the world is learning, the Almighty uses the very same environment to develop his new creation. Along our way, we are adding value to our characters with these experiences. Only by sharing of the troubles of this world can we later qualify as sympathetic high priest of the Melchizedek order. Take two people with the same illnesses or ailments. The difference between one in the world and one that is consecrated. Both end up in the same hospital with the same illness, but they have a different perspective. The purpose of it all is the consecrated are trained for a position, the others are not. A most powerful statement is in Luke 21 and verse 18. Yet not a hair of your head that will perish, as Brother Benson earlier in the manna text for our manna for October 27 read out. It's a good reprint article there as well. The Lord's next words in Luke 21:19 are, by your endurance, you'll gain your lives. Other versions use patience. From the moment of our begettal, the Lord takes charge. Remember, he is always at the helm, and he is on our side. Does not that give us real comfort? In a way, a Christian is compared a bit like a tea bag, not really worth much till placed in a cup of hot water. But we are under divine care. Let us remember we are stewards of so many opportunities. As members of the fallen human race, we expect failing health. Pastor Russell had a few health issues. Very few knew. One was that when he talked on the platform, his feet would swell up the more and the longer he spoke. He did not make too much of it and did not let others know. Remember, brethren, there are great blessings and opportunities in affliction. The psalmist stated in Psalm 119:67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I've kept thy word. Our Heavenly Father designs various kinds of trouble to come upon us, to develop and to prove our character. And reprint 5879 is good on this. Part of the divine program is that we need affliction. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, been cited before, there hath no temptation taken you but such as man can bear, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make also the way of escape, that you may be able to endure. What a most wonderfully comforting promise. Trials are not to crush us, but to make us grow stronger and stronger. Often, certain specific trials develop our character, yet they are exactly what we try to avoid. And we question them, why me, Lord? The Lord answers, why not? In 1 Peter 4:12, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. In trials, the knee-jerk reaction is to think of all the negatives or destruction, but remember, these are specially designed to develop our character, and Hebrews 12:11 is good as well. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So our very trials are the tools to develop, to fine-tune, and to crystallize our character eventually to the likeness of our Lord Jesus. Remember, God is looking for a strong, crystallized character. Christ's likeness can only be developed by trial. To be sealed signifies the acquirement in the present life of that clear degree of the knowledge of God and of his word. The humility of mind that was in Christ Jesus, the progress and growth in the graces and the fruits of the Holy Spirit, of the fixing of purpose and crystallization of character in both mind and heart, the attainment to it and standing fast that at that mark or that standard of the high calling and of faith. So our character has to be developed like a crystal in structure to the very max. It needs to be clear, to be brilliant with the multifacets sparkling and reflecting his light. The geometry is to be fixed, not changeable. Secondly, this character is to be fixed, that no matter what trial it is exposed to, proving it will not change. So When we look back, we see how important it is to develop our character to a level that will not change under any adverse condition. Only then will it be worth of a divine spiritual nature. As we know, jewels are scarce, and they do take time to develop, to be cut, and they do need to be polished. That is why it's taken over 2,000 years nearly to develop this ultimate pure jewel class. It's showing us that our dear Heavenly Father is a God of real patience in Romans 15 and 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded, one towards another according to Christ Jesus. You see, in a way, it's a way we view the overall perspective. You used to climb and abseil mountains as you go up higher up the steep slopes and you look down below into the valleys. They appear to get smaller and smaller as one climbed up. It's a bit like our trouble. The higher one goes, the smaller they become. As we elevate our minds to God, we get more of his perspective as he looks down on us as very small things. In 2 Corinthians 4:17 and 18, for momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. And verse 18, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Our perspective and focus is on heavenly things. My dear brethren, we are in the holy, but we must think as if we are in the most holy. All these afflictions down here are just like a blink of an eye when compared to the eternity we hope to gain if faithful unto death. Oh, what a view and a perspective we get of God. For he is bypassing the cherubims, the seraphims, archangels and millions of spiritual beings he ever created. Yet he condescends to the material world to select a bride from lowly earth for his immortal son. This honour to those who are a living sacrifice is not by being conformed, but by being transformed. And Romans 12 and 2 brings that out most. In exchange for their patience and endurance that they develop along their way is that they will receive the greatest reward. Romans 2 and 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for what? For glory and honour and immortality, eternal life. Oh yes, it truly is an awesome reward for those that are faithful to the end. The greatest of all time. So whatever it costs you, just remember, brethren, it's a real bargain. So how do we treat? A simple illustration. Remember the old blacksmith. They're a bit ancient now. And the anvil and the hot iron and held in the tongs and the hammer. God is the blacksmith. In goes the forge of the fire. Then the hammer. Not quite right. In again. Over and over again. Remember the Heavenly Father is shaping us. God who sits as a refiner of gold, tries us. Under the hand of his proving hand, we learn to know ourselves. He does the searching to see if there be any evil way in us. He searches, he tries and proves us. In the Orlando weekly hookup meetings on Zoom, we've had Corinthians and we recall Apostle Paul's trials and tribulations. He always soldiered on, no matter what the trials or perilous situations he encountered, as Brother Ernie brought out. Let us make and take positives out of all the negatives along our journey on earth. We have to always keep on keeping on, as our dear sister Shirley Bruce used to say. In 1 Peter 1:7, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honour at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, why were the saints called saints? Because they were cheerful. When placed under the most difficult, stressful situations and conditions, in Apostle Paul in Acts 16:25, we remember him and Silas in prison, their feet in stocks, their backs were bleeding, after beatings their hopes were dashed. They were cast in that dark dungeon, and what did they do? They waited, and at midnight they sang hymns of praise to God. And you know what? The prisoners heard them. They sang joyfully aloud, realizing they were suffering for righteousness' sake, and aloud, what a wonderful witness to all. And you know what, my dear brethren? We still hear the hymns of praise resonate to us to this very day because they're recorded in the scriptures for us. Two types of endurance, a patient type when undergoing the affliction, and secondly, are rejoicing afterwards in spontaneous thanksgiving to God for having endured the experience and knowing it is working out a wonderful reward, either in character or in the ultimate goal of the divine nature. We are told to be what in Romans 8:37? Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Another reason for all these troubles. We have absolutely no legal merit in the ransom or the purchasing price of mankind. That was Jesus and Jesus alone. The value we gain in our practical experience is to assist in that mediation work in the future, but we have no legal merit. Paul speaks of the sin offering and emphasizes the sufferings of mankind and their experiences in Hebrews 13. The sin offering qualifies the mediator. It shows the test of faithfulness, and by undergoing similar tests, we gain sympathy and similar experiences. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, our experiences are the same as mankind's in order that we learn the lessons well, and we have Hebrews 2:17-18. Therefore, we had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in these things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he has suffered, he is able to come to the aid of who? Of those who are tempted. Mercy, compassion, sympathy and empathy for individuals who are struggling. Later on in Hebrews 4:14-15-16, seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus personally assists us. Without his advocacy and forgiveness through his robe of righteousness, without his personal interest in us, we would become very discouraged and not win the battle. He was tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. We have a great high priest because of his character, his mercy, nobility, compassion, interest in us, and the ability to assist. Therefore, having such a high priest, we should continue to hold fast our profession. So Hebrews 4:15-16 links he suffered as we suffer. We suffer as mankind suffers in order to identify with their experiences. And we store all that knowledge. We follow the template of our Lord. And thus in Hebrews 4, Paul brings in prayer, faith, trust, and obedience to instruction. all our trials are also that we can properly teach what we learn later. To get the spiritual or divine nature means the giving up a perfect human life that is held in prospect and justification for us. So one is treated as if they had it. We surrender that prospective human life by coming under the same contract as Jesus did when he surrendered his perfect life. We say, I will die daily like he died. We work to the same contract to get that spiritual life. Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I affirm, brethren, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus, our Lord, I die daily. So this dying daily is to identify with mankind and enabling us to have a spiritual life if faithful to the very end. Such a contract was made with our Lord Jesus so that he could gain a spiritual life, and it is how we too have a spiritual life if we're faithful unto death. In Revelations 2:10, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will what? Give thee the crown of life. That crown of life is the divine life, rewarded only by the process of fulfilling faithfully a contract. A contract David calls a covenant of sacrifice in Psalm 50:5. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The ransom is like an operation. The surgery moves the primary cancer, the sin. Then the recovery process, radiotherapy or later on chemotherapy sessions, destroy the residue cancer cells, and you have that sin offering at play. Brethren, God has a plan. So these developed jewels in the future will protect, help mankind after the resurrection. The Heavenly Father foreknew this all in 1 Peter 1:2. Who were chosen and foreknown by God the Father and consecrated by the Spirit to be obedient to Jesus Christ and to be sprinkled with his blood. May grace and peace be given to you in increasing abundance. So we fill up that which is lacking. The method of election is through sacrifice of the Spirit. One is to become holy as the whole body. Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake and fill up on my part that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Just as Jesus suffered in the flesh on the cross, his humanity was involved, so other Christians suffered in their flesh. Having hard experiences along the way, the sin offering was not just the blood being taken of the most holy, but also the consumption of the flesh on the altar. So in Colossians 1:24 shows the partnership arrangement of suffering and afflictions in Christ. If one member of the body suffers, the whole body suffer, not only because of a communal arrangement, but also because Christians are partakers of the one hope. We remember, brethren, death is but a sleep. When mankind is gradually awakened, they will still remember their sinful ways and have a tendency to such. That is why, with Satan bound, they have to be assisted in walking up the highway of holiness to be re-educated and reformed. Running out of time, but just quickly, recall the roles of the jewels or the church and the kingdom are judges, 1 Corinthians 6:3. Do you not know that you will judge angels? Obadiah 21, and saviour shall come out on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. We also have priests and kings in Revelations 5:10. And he has made us unto to God, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Oh, what a prospect awaits us. In all our experiences, in all our trials that we have on earth, we must learn obedience and how to be an overcomer. That overcoming is a most valuable experience by what we accumulate that's into that storehouse of knowledge that we will need in the future. What is important is what we get out of those experiences. One Redeemer, as Jesus is the ransom, but we have many saviors in Obadiah 21. So much salvation work for the dual class or the church to do in the kingdom. Would you just not want to be part of that divine program? Our privilege, only if faithful unto death, is to take all our individual experiences, not to judge others, but to sympathize with them now. Let us all learn to conquer, to become more than conquerors. Let us all endeavor to crystallize our characters to the very max with all our experiences in earth's proving ground as they are for all eternity. Let us then treasure these patiently, cheerfully, enduring and learning from them as they are invaluable to us now. May the Lord bless you all in this mission. Amen.